Alright, so it's going to be a little bit of a review from last time, and then kind of finishing off what we didn't get to see last week on the Melacha of Zoraya. So really the first five sources looked at just kind of the basic parameters of what Zoraya, the goal of Zoraya, and a few examples. And the one example that we really focused on was watering plants on Shabbos, which the goal of watering your plant is to cause it to grow, and that's clearly the Melacha of Zoraya, but it's not planting a seed, so the action is a little bit different. And therefore, watering plants is a tolda and not an av, because it's missing half that equation. And then let's pick up in source six, the discussion of washing your hands in a garden comes up. We're starting with the highlighted part. This is the Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yosef Karo. Avala ochlim beganos, those who eat in gardens, asuram li tol yedehem ala asavim, shemashkim osam. You cannot wash your hands on the grass or over the grass, because then you're watering the grass. Afo pishe'ena mechavnim, psigre shehu. Even though you have no intention to water the grass, it's not what you're doing. You're washing your hands. That's all you care about. Since it's a guaranteed result that you're watering the grass, it's forbidden. But what's interesting there is implicit in what he says is that you are allowed to eat and drink in the garden. But then if we continue to the italics with the Ramah, Rabbi Moshe Israelis, Haggad, the gloss, Lechen tov lahachmir shelo la'achol beganos. Therefore, it's better just not even to eat or drink in the garden. Don't have lunch or kiddush in your garden. Im yishtame shami mine, if you're going to have water. Because it's very difficult to actually take care that no water falls onto the ground. So it's better just to avoid the issue altogether. And so now, this is a slightly different source sheet from last time, so I added a few sources just to kind of flesh out that idea a tiny bit more. In source 7, there are two short quotes from Rabbi Nissim Karelitz, who is alive now in Bnei Brak, and he is a number of svarim, a whole series called Chut Hashani. And he has, three or four volumes on Shabbos. And he has two interesting points here. He says, Hada asur li tol yadav b'makom zirayim. This idea that we've forbidden washing your hands over grass or other plants. Hainu davka b'riboy mayim. This is specifically when you're really washing your hands with a lot of water. Aval tipos hanotavos megufo mezikeno en behem chashash. But if your hands are just dripping, or your beard, I don't know, you wash your face or you did something, there's water dropping off of you. Ein behem chashash. That's not an issue. That's not what we're talking about. Kevan she'ein to'oel esam nikeres, because their benefit to the ground or to the grass is not actually discernible to us. Presumably for Shabbos, you have to have a discernible impact on
what. So if you have like a water bottle with ice and it's the water bottle sweating, can you put that on the ground or no?
That's a good question. That sounds very much like what he's saying here, since it's just a drop here and there, yeah. Because she'ein miskavein la'ashkos, ein bezeh shum chashash umoter. And since, you know, it's just a drip and a drop here and there from your body. And as a result, there are two points here, that the benefit is not discernible, and it's not at all your intent to water the grass when you're walking around and it's dripping. And then on the left, l'irok ala karka b'Shabbos, to spit on the ground on Shabbos. Ein isir l'irok k'tas b'Shabbos al gab karka al gabe zeraim. There's no isir to spit on grass, which I'd always assume, like, why would you say that that's mutter? It doesn't, you know, I don't know that much about grass, but I would assume your saliva can provide some sort of nutrients. Kevan she'ena derech lashko zeraim al yedei rok. But he says, no, there's no problem, because that's not how you water plants. Washing your hands, nitilas yedaim, that does line up a lot with how you would water the grass, but spitting it does not at all. And just a little bit of spit, there's no concern that that's really going to bring about any sort of growth. Fine, two interesting points about that. And then in source 8 and 9, we're not going to go through them all inside, but Rav Belsky and his Tshuvos Shulchan Alevi was very, very against hosting a Kiddush in out on a lawn because of what the Ramah said, that it's very difficult to ensure that no water spills out. He says at the end, Harbe Mekilim Bize Shalokadin. Many people are very lenient with this, not in accordance with the halacha. The Osim Kiddush B'Shabbos Al Gabe Desha, and they make a Kiddush out on the grass, on the lawn. Bodim Melibon Tirutzim Biruim She'in Lahem Shachar, and they give explanations that just don't have any logic to them. Tovle Meshtika V'Lasos B'li Chidushin. It would be better if they don't give explanations and do what they're going to do. But a very harif answer on his part, that he was clearly very against it. On the other hand, in the Shabbos Home, the Art Scroll book from Rabbi Cohen in Source 9, he goes through, he looks at the Ramah, and not only does he look at the Ramah, but what source the Ramah draws from, which is a Sefer called Sefer HaTruma, which was from the time period of the early Tosfos. It's tricky because the version that he quotes, it's in Simon Reish Lamed Hay. The version that he quotes is different than the version that's on Arilan, for example, which is where I'm pulling most of this from. The version that he quotes says the word mazik, that people are pouring and purposefully pouring out water on the grass, and they're washing their hands, and they know that that's exactly what they're doing versus accidentally spilling a glass of water. So he says, if it's all about mazid, accidentally spilling is not an issue. And the Sefer HaTruma also mentions washing dishes, which nobody washes dishes at a Kiddush. You have plastic cups, and that's just not an issue. Additionally, we would have tables set out, and maybe back then they were just actually sitting on the ground, so there was an even greater concern that it's going to go, if you knock it over, it's straight onto the ground, whereas here maybe it's under the table and there's less of any concern. So he, as a result, says, and you can just see on the top left, English, it is permitted to make a Kiddush outdoors on Shabbos. However, care must be taken not to spill water or drinks onto the grass, which is not like the Ramah, very much not like Rav Belsky. But he's basing himself on the wording whatever printing he has of Sefer HaTruma. He doesn't tell us which printing it is, but it's not at all like what's on Bar Ilan. What's on Bar Ilan comes out much more like the Ramah, maybe not quite as severe as Rav Belsky, but still very much like the Ramah. Fine, so that was one part of what we saw last time, and then we went from there over to hydroponics, and then we're going to continue on into putting flowers in water, which is where we kind of ran out of time last time. In source 10, just quickly here, the Shulchan Aruch says, "Hashor echitim esorim yotze behem b'mayim harizei toldas zoreya v'chaya v'kalshi." Putting various different grains or seeds, really, into water, growing them hydroponically, is a tolda of zoreya. And in source 11, we saw last time, the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchas talks about putting avocado pits into a cup of water, and that would be forbidden, because that's the whole point of sticking it into the top of your cup of water, is that it should start sprouting roots, and then you can stick it into the ground and it will really stick. And
if you're cutting an avocado on Shabbos, can you hold the pit back with the intention of putting it in water after Shabbos?
Just put it aside?
Yeah.
Instead of throwing it in normally you would just throw it in the trash.
Right, so if you hold it aside when your kavana is still, you're going to put it in water just after Shabbos, is that okay?
Yeah, because you're not really doing anything other than you're just setting it down on the counter. Yeah, I don't think that would be... Well, that's no more work than... There's no more work than throwing it in the trash. Because if you're going to say that's hachana, why wouldn't I say throwing it in the trash in order that the trash should be taken out? Put in the trash truck. It's also hachana, which obviously doesn't make any sense. Right. Well, I guess once you put in the trash can, it's
you're not out of. Putting it in the trash so that something will happen. So you're putting it in the trash.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't seem like hachana, but it's a good question. I'll have to look into that. Because the part of Hakana is how much effort is it taking? I'm putting it 4 inches over here versus 4 inches over there. It's a good question, though. Fine. So he says you can't do that, and also the pit, he does say, is muksa, so you can't pick it up and carry it around. But once you're taking it out of the avocado itself, to put it down in one place versus the trash, that's where that question would come up. Fine. So hydroponics would be forbidden. But if we look in source 12, it says, the Shulchan Aruch, again, it says, mutar lahashkos, it's a talush, kdei shelo yichmash. You can, however, kind of freshen up your vegetables, literally water something which is talush, which has been separated from the ground, in order that it shouldn't shrivel or dry out. So what exactly is the distinction between the two? It's not a big mystery in source 13. Of Karelis, again, puts it quite simply, v'hudin kal ki hai gavne, this is also true in similar cases, she'ein bo hatzmacha, mutter imhu talush. It's permitted because there's no hatzmacha. You're not causing any further growth. Your lettuce is not going to grow another few millimeters or whatever it would be, because you're freshening it up with water. You're just keeping it from drying out or shriveling. So it's maintaining its current status versus adding on extra growth. Right, so with that distinction in mind, just check the time. Okay. If we look back at source 10, in the italics is Rabbi Moshe Israeli's, the Ramah. Hagah mutar lamid anfei elanos b'mayim b'shabbos. You can put twigs, decorative twigs, in water on Shabbos. Bilvad shaloyu b'hem parachim v'shoshanim shem niftachim melachlochis hamayim. Provided they do not have flowers and buds on them that will open as a result of being placed in the water. Fine. So far he's just said certainly twigs, and which all the examples of twigs that I can think that I've seen in people's houses, they weren't actually in water. They're already dried out. You go to like a craft store and they have a pile of twigs. But they're pretty, but there's certainly no flowers or any leaves on them. But if they have flowers, it says shehem niftachim, they will open. So it sounds like they're not open yet, and the act of opening is some sort of growth. Now, flipping back to the other side, source 14 is the source for the Ramah. And he says the exact same thing. He says, Mari Segal, i.e. the Maril, Hitzir La'amid Tocha Mayim B'Shabbos, he allowed to put into water, Anfei Alanos Asher Kotzim B'Yamos Hachama L'smoch B'hen Abayis. He would permit people to put branches that they would cut down during the summer to decorate their house. They prevent them to put it into water on Shabbos. Rak shelo yu behem parachim v'shoshanam tem mizgadlim v'niftachim v'yinikas lachluchis amayim v'hevi megadol b'Shabbos. So I highlighted hevi megadol b'Shabbos because what does that mean exactly? Obviously it means that there's some sort of growth, it sounds like. But is this, to put it differently, is this an Isser Durabanan or Isser Dereis? And he's like, does Megadol mean the same thing as Hatzmacha, that it's actually true growth is happening when a flower opens? Or does it just look like growth, but it's really a different category and therefore Durabanan? So when I first saw it, I thought it was Durabanan just because of the fact he changes the word and says the idea of Legadel versus Hatzmacha, which the Gemara we saw last time does use in the context of Zoraya and growth. But then I saw in source 15, just looking at the highlighted red, the Gidulam, and then She'iaf Shar Shalom Yo'il Legadlam. This is a source talking about washing your hands on grass again, the Sefer Yoreim. He talks about when you wash your hands on the grass, it's impossible that it will not benefit them, Legadlam. And there, that's certainly an Isser D'oraisa, to pour out the water on grass. And he uses the word legadlim. So if we apply that back to the Maril, maybe putting your flowers that have not opened into water on Shabbos itself would be an issue of rice, according to that logic. But if you look, I'm not completely alone in presenting that. If you look in source 16, this is the Mishnah Berurah. Just in the highlighted part, we'll, God willing, we'll come back to the beginning part in a moment, but the highlighted part says, Yesh achronim shesovrim demidas sasama mechaber. Here he's referring to putting a lulav in water, which the Mishnah in Sukkah discusses. And the Rabbi Yosef Karo in Hilchos Sukkahs, in Hilchos Lulav, rather, does mention putting it into water, and he doesn't clarify or distinguish at all. He just says you can put it in. Mashma de'afila lichatchila mutar la'amidam bekad she'yesh bo mayim mizumanim erev Shabbos, that I could put in either these twigs or your lulav into water for the first time on Shabbos. V'lo amru ele lo osif atzam mayim mishum tirchan. And they're only saying that you're not allowed to add water on Shabbos, but you could put the sticks in. And then in 17, again, this is the Chafetz Chaim speaking, but in the Shara Tzion, says, he tells you what the source of this lenient approach is. It's the Prima Gadam and the Shulchan Aruch Rav. And perhaps we can rely on this lenient approach if you forgot to put your lulav or your sticks in the water on Friday. Why? Since they do not have flowers, and there's no concern of an Isser Deraisa.
Why would one put their lulav in water in the first place?
I've tried it and it doesn't do anything, but I guess if it's really fresh, that would help it stay fresh. It makes more sense by your Hadassim and Aravos. I've tried it with all of them, and it didn't do anything for anything. But maybe if you're in Eretz Yisrael, where you just trimmed it, that I could see putting it in water might help. And actually, Rav Karel, it's in Chut Hashani, says he does mention not putting in your hadassim if they haven't fully fully bloomed or what have you. They're not the flowers, but the leaves.
Cutting them so fresh before the Chag, you only need them to last 7 days. After the 7 days, of course, they should still be in good condition, right? If you're cutting them and they're so fresh.
Presumably,
Some people, when they buy more aromas for aroma, but they wrap them in like one paper towel and a little bottle of
Well, you're saying when they buy them before the beginning of Yom Tov altogether?
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Does Byron give you the biographical information also?
Yeah, they have a biography there. And I just pull, the dates and where they were from. Yeah. Right, and they'll tell you a little bit about their life and which printings of the Sidis farm they're using. Right, which it sounds, you could argue with this, but it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah there is saying that putting flowers, since your lulav does not have flowers, it's therefore not a chashash deraisa. But if it did have flowers, that very well may be an issur deraisa to put it in water. Fine. On the other hand, in source 18, the Birkei Yosef, which is the chida, just again in the highlighted part, says. Talks about putting flowers into water for the first time on Shabbos when they haven't opened all the way. Chumra yaseirahi. This is just an excessive stringency. The chitim v'seorim b'mayim hem matzmichim davar chadash. When you put grain or seeds into water, there it will start to sprout. Something new happens. It starts to grow. Alvradim niftachim masasim. But when we're talking about flowers, it's just that which was closed is now open. But everything was already present. Nothing changed. V'ein sham davar shelo hayamatzui. There's nothing new. V'ein mi shechoshesh be'eretz Mitzrayim. And in Egypt, nobody worries about this. They do it. I didn't bring it with me. I had there's a sefer called Badei Ashulchan. There are many Badei Ashulchans, but there's one Badei Ashulchan, which is a running commentary on Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa with Svardi Psak Halacha when it differs from the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, and he quotes the Birkei Yosef and seems to rely on it, that the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa follows the Ramah that we do not allow you to put flowers that have not opened into water on Shabbos. And Bar Yeshochan, if I remember correctly, I'll have to go look inside. I'll put it on the YU Torah as a source sheet. I believe he says that you can rely on the Birkei Yosef.
But aren't cut flowers muksa on Shabbos?
Not necessarily, because
you could give someone flowers, like you could take cut flowers and give them as a gift on Shabbos.
Maybe within this approach that you can actually do something with it at that point, put it in water. I'd have to look.
If it's mooks that even pick up, whether you put it in water or not, it's irrelevant.
I'd have to double check. Right now, off the top of my head, the only thing I'm remembering was seeing it was stuff that related specifically to this, because that's what I just went over. Where what happens if I have flowers that I put in water before Shabbos, but they had not opened up all the way? Can I move that vase? Which you see people move flowers off the table all the time. That's fine. So can you extrapolate from that to just the flowers themselves, maybe? So I'll have to look that. But Rav Eliyashiv, people quoted Rav Eliyashiv as saying that if they haven't opened up all the way, you should move it carefully, because maybe moving it around will cause them to open. So it's that same concern. But differing views, the typical, the prominent position seems to be to be concerned for that and not put them in water on Shabbos itself. Okay, fine. Very quickly, last time we saw, all right, we mentioned the Mishnah and Shabbos, so just to say it inside, where the Mishnah gives us three categories, three examples. I didn't put this on the source sheet, but it's the very last Mishnah in the third parak of Sukkah. It says, Mekabelis Isha Miyad Bana Umiyad Bala Umachzirato Lamayim B'Shabbos. The wife can accept lulav from her son or from her husband and put it back into water on Shabbos. So you can return, according to the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Mishnah. And then Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, B'Shabbos Machzirin, you can return it to water that was already in the vase on Shabbos. B'Yom Tov Mosifin, on Yom Tov you can add water. V'Moed Machlifim, and on Chol Moed you can exchange and put new water in. Which, if you look in source 20, the second paragraph, B'Shabbos ein lehosif mayim al eile ametzuyim ba'agatal miba'od yom, aval b'yom tov mutar lehosif. So exactly like the Mishnah, this is the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa. On Shabbos you cannot add water. On Yom Tov you can add water. And this is not necessarily a Zoreya question, it's really a Tircha question. That on Yom Tov we do allow that, on Shabbos we do not. In the highlighted part he references the flowers that haven't opened all the way, but it's saying the exact same thing we've already said a number of times. Fine. And in the back here I just put some bullet points of other issues that come up in Zoreya that we're not going to go into. And then in the bowl, or rather blue, excuse me, we have a little bit on Zachor. What I originally had hoped to do was to do a little bit of Malacha and then a little bit of the Mitzvah Saseh. It has no connection to Zoreya per se, but just to see a little bit. And last time, actually I think every year so far we've run out of time before we get to this, and so this is the first. We'll see if it continues. Where first with the Ramban talking about Zachor's Yom HaShabbos Lukasha. It says, Al derech ha-pshat Amru in the Michilta, Midrash Halacha of Tznanayim, she mitzvah she nizkor tamid b'kol yom es ha-Shabbos. What is just a simple understanding of Zachor's Yom HaShabbos Lukasha? It means remember Shabbos every day of the week. Shlo nishkechehu, v'lo yischalef lanu b'shar yamim. We shouldn't forget it and then switch it up with other days and accidentally keep Shabbos on Friday and think Shabbos is Sunday. Because as a result of remembering Shabbos, we'll remember what Shabbos is meant to remind us of in the first place, which is Maisa Bereishis. We will accept and acknowledge at all times that there is a Creator. And that He commanded us about this sign, i.e. Shabbos. This is a tremendous fundamental pillar in faith in God. And then a practical implication of this beyond, obviously, that emuna is tremendously practical and important. An additional implication is in source 2 from Rabbi Yair Chaim Bachrach, who's typically known as the Chavos Yair, after his book of Shilas and Chuvos. Says b'mitzvah zachor yom haShabbos niklal sheish likros yemei haShavua achar haShabbos yom rishon b'Shabbos sheni b'Shabbos v'chule v'lo kamo shekorin hagoyim, and not like the nations around us refer to it as Monday, Sunday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And that's an idea that the Ramban himself also references, at least with regard to the months of the year. I think I put the wrong part in source 3. So in source 3, it's Shemir Shabbos Kilchus. It says the exact same thing that source 2 says. But others quote, I think it might be from the Arizal, but I'd have to double check, that the idea, why are so many people careful after davening on after Shacharis to say Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, and then we say Shir Shal Yom. The idea of saying Shir Shal Yom is an older idea, but the idea of saying Hayom Yom is not such an old idea, and it came about because of this. That you can have intent to be mekayim this idea of Zachor Yom HaShabbos, the Kad Show, by saying Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. And that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Shir Shal Yom. It's just at that point in time, and it, you know, it connects thematically, but it's being mekayim that separate mitzvah. Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.